Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and welcome this evening to Wellness Radio. Such a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. We're here on a Saturday night in the month of May 2017. Can you imagine it? Sometimes I have to look on the calendar to even know what day it is. We're coming up on Mother's Day, and I said, gosh, where did 2016 go? Where did the spring go? I don't even know. Time just goes so fast these days. Today we are going to be talking with Samara Riley, and we'll be having her share her experiences over the decades on how she started to channel Mother Mary, her work with Reiki, and also her deep-seated connection to the heart and the soul. I've known Samara for, I think it's since 96 or 97 now, so it's quite a while. And when I think about it, we look back at it, we say, gosh, it's such a long time ago, but every time we connect, it's like it's just in the moment. We're already, hey, you know, I remember, I connect, and it's not like time has passed. It's just, everybody's just so present these days. Today, Samara is going to be taking callers. If you'd like to call in, the number is 424-258-9318. And please be sure after the intro to push 1 so I will be able to see your telephone number on the board and put you in the queue. Samara, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us. It seems like such a long time since we've spoken.
Well, hey, Dr. Jeanette, I know, but just as you were mentioning to everyone who's listening, although we might not talk for months or maybe even years, it is just like yesterday. And I think that speaks to the fact that on a soul level, there is such a deep and profound connection that all of us can have if we sort of just move out of the everyday lives that most of us live for a while and come into this sort of rarefied connection that I would call our soul connection with each other. Then we just know, as Ram Dass sometimes says, we're all just walking each other home.
You know, that's so... just so wonderful to hear you say that. You know, so many times we look back. I went through my Facebook listing and my telephone, and I deleted a lot several times this spring. And I had posted it on Facebook that I was deleting because I just felt that it was just time to clear my palette because people would attach because they wanted something, they wanted something else, or they felt that they had to. And I just want to have a deep connection with everyone. And through this radio show, we've had that because many guests I've even had on, gosh, 3, 4, 5 years ago, have called up and said, hey, can I come on again? And it's like, sure, you know, or guests would call in and they'd say, oh, my gosh, it's just, it's a sense of, you know, you almost feel like you're home when you connect with people on that level. Don't you think so?
Oh, absolutely. It's the vibration of home. And when you have it, it is just such a profound and lovely thing. And in a way, I think the loneliness that so many people are experiencing now and the disconnection and frustration has to do with not having significant soul connections with others. And I think shows like yours that can help people connect within themselves and then with other like-minded and open-hearted people can really begin to shift those fears of disconnection and those feelings of loneliness so we can realize that, hey, we're all in this together.
Right. And there's a lot of people who are disconnected, and I think by sharing through this show, what we are hoping to do is to inspire other people to hear our words, to say, oh, I don't understand it, but I'll listen. Oh, but that's kind of cool, and maybe I feel a little better. Many times callers have said, oh, I felt so warm when I was listening, or it kind of got me excited, or it kind of got me scared, but they continue to listen to be able to feel that connection. You know, when you go to the store and you look at maybe someone who's in one of those motorized chairs, and all you have to do is ask them, can I help you? You know that you have that connection because they say, oh, someone asked, someone helped, someone saw me, you know, and then you say, sure, and then you help them, and then you both feel that little connection for a moment. And I think we sometimes disavow all those little connections that we have in the daytime, you know, and we say, oh, well, I really am not connected. But, yeah, maybe you are, or maybe you just need to up your speed a little bit, huh? Right.
And well, I agree. And be open. You know, I mean, I think sometimes we can get into more of a robotic way of living and we deaden our senses. We put our eyes downward so we're not looking at people.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why at the end of the day we feel tired and lonely, where if we will kind of, as Mother Mary has said to me a couple times, beef up your aura. And when you beef up your aura, what that really means to me is that you allow yourself to really know that you are a creator, a co-creator, and that you can go anywhere and share light. I mean, you can literally be someone else's angel just by, as you said, if they're whether they're in a wheelchair or they're having a bad day, just a smile or say, oh, what a pretty sweater, or, you know, anything like that really lifts someone's heart, because they, you know, all of us would like to be seen and recognized and feel acknowledged and at least somewhat important in this life. And I think if we're not experiencing that ourselves, one way to remedy that is to go and offer that to people as you feel guided and see what happens, because lots of times amazing things occur.
You know, it's the funniest thing. I had a show the other day with a millennial. What we did was we looked at awakening and spirituality and how we're living in this world from two different generations. He's 25 and I'm in my 60s. And we kind of like went back and forth and it was just so much fun. And at the end of the call, I said, what I would like everyone to do is go to Walmart. Can't go to Target, can't go to the regular grocery store, you have to go to Walmart. Because Walmart has everything. It has all products, but it has all people, all different people there. And I said, from the time you hit the parking lot till the time you come back to your car, I want you to say hello to everybody. Or just look at them and connect with them. Or just engage somehow, some way with them. And see how many people you can do that with. And then see how you feel when you get back to your car. You know, the reason I said that was because there were times in my life when it was really, I really didn't have people around that were even, as I call, on my plane. In other words, they were really off the wall. And it's like, I just didn't have anyone to talk to. And I went to Walmart, and it happened to be Elder Day. You know, where you get some more money off or whatever, I don't know. But anyway, I went, and everybody had their canes and their walkers and all that other stuff. Well, for some reason that time, I started going down the aisles the opposite way. You know, there's a rhythm in a grocery store. You go to the back of the store, and then you go to your left. You don't go to your right. You go to your left. So I went against the flow, and I kept running into all these people. And I started saying, oh, my gosh, we just want to, and I would bang my card into them by accident. And I would say, oh, we're just here to dance. That's all. And the people would start laughing, and it was just so energizing. I mean, they just felt like someone just looked at them. You know, it was just the coolest thing. It was like it just would have hearts melting, you know. So I encourage everybody, if you have a bad day, go the opposite way in the store and bang into everybody. Hey, it works.
Well, that's great. I mean, if we take back our spontaneity and we take back our creative juice, you know, so much can change and so much can happen. And that, I think one of the real benefits is we feel better. And then, you know, that obviously we can help other people feel better too. I love that idea, you know, because Walmart is, like you said, it's everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in Walmart. And so to go and be someone who's helping lift and smile and bring people into a better place, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do.
Oh, it was so much fun. I do it almost all the time now, but I needed it that day, and it kind of worked out. So, Samar, can you share with us, you know, because I've known you for so long, you know, what you do and how you channel with Mother Mary and your Reiki work is so familiar to me, but many of our listeners are not familiar with it. Can you explain a little bit what that might be?
Sure, I'd be happy to, because I know for a lot of people the idea of channeling is still, you know, a little weird or something where they,
right.
you know, if you watch the movies, you know, Whoopi Goldberg when the
right.
body comes in and she gets all shaky and starts to channel
yeah.
somebody in that movie Ghost. For me, part of what happened as a child, I was left alone a lot of the time. It's not that my parents neglected me, but those were the days when go outside and play, we'll see you in 6 or 7 hours.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what was happening. And near my house, there was a graveyard, and I was fascinated by the graveyard. So I would walk down. I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I would literally walk through the stones and put my hand on one of the stones, and I would immediately feel the essence of that person. I would be looking at their name, whether it was a man or a woman or a child, and I could feel them. And at first, I thought, oh, this is really cool, you know, and I would sort of talk to them and listen to them and, you know, a couple times I tried to explain this to my mother and to my brother, and of course I I was met with, you know, you're crazy, you're making this up, you know, that's stupid,
right.
you know, et cetera. But the bottom line for me was it fascinated me, and I thought, what is this? And so even from the age of 9, I began to look into spirituality. And I had a really wonderful guide in this, an older person in my neighborhood, an older boy. And I was able to tell him about this, and he said something that I've never forgotten. He said, well, don't forget, just because they're dead, don't make them smart. So in other words, not to just swallow whole
right.
anything that was said, but to just recognize, just like people,
right.
channeling comes from basically people who've passed on to the other side, or sometimes people who've never, I shouldn't even call them people, beings who've never been alive, but who have a presence, a vibration. And for me, it was a little like hearing a radio in another room. And for me also, it was always loving. It was always a sweet encounter for me. I never had any of the horror things that I know have happened to some folks. So fast forward, you know, from childhood, I had an ordinary life. I got married and had a child and did all those kinds of things. But I had my spirituality always as sort of my special secret garden. Well, in 1997, I had just built and bought a new house in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I had dedicated it to spirituality and to being a haven, you know, for people that were searching and hungry. And I was
right.
sitting in my new living room all excited about having such a lovely new space. And I felt this huge, beautiful, powerful energy of light. And it was like in my living room. And, you know, I sort of asked telepathically, you know, who are you? And she said, many call me Mary.
Mm.
And I was a little puzzled by that because she didn't say, I am Mother Mary. She said, many call me Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say more about that in a minute. But then I said, well, what can I do for you? I was always a good doer, you know. And she said, will you be with me? And again, that's a very interesting question. And so on that afternoon, I basically just kind of said yes, thinking foolishly that she just meant that afternoon.
Right.
Well, she stayed for a little while and just sort of comforted me, like surrounded me with this wonderful, warm, absolute, unconditional love. And for any of you that have never experienced that, it changes you. It changed me. So then it sort of wafted away, like she had another appointment, and I went on with my day. I didn't tell anybody that first time. Well, for the next 30 days, she came every day when I sat down to meditate. She would enter the room and hover over me. And at least in the beginning, I just thought, oh, well, she's just here for me, to comfort me, to be with me, maybe to bless my new house. But about a month into it, when she sort of had me by the the heart, she said, I have words to share, and I would that you would share them. And I want to tell you, Jeanette, that was a truly lightning bolt kind of moment, because I felt like I don't deserve this. I'm not holy enough. I'm not, you know, I went through all of my own feelings about
right.
myself. But she kept saying, it is you. You can do this. And so beginning
I remember that house because I was
right,
in that house.
Do.
That's where I met you. Yes.
Exactly.
And I actually met you right in the beginning.
Yes, you did. Yes,
and
you
know
did.
What is this? If we look at this, and I'm sorry to hold, but
no,
I just want to hold
ahead.
On for a second, because with your story, it is. I tend to meet people at the beginning of their journey, and then I tend to leave them alone, and then I tend to bring them back in when they're along their journey. Don't ask me what my position in this life is, because I haven't quite firmed it up. But what you said about the a small child being outside, I was always put outside.
Mm.
Next door to us was a cemetery.
Oh, wow.
I used to go up. Wait, it gets better. I used to go over there, and I used to lay down in the ground in front of the tombstones.
Wow.
And between our house, that was a little tiny driveway, and then the cemetery, and because it used to be a funeral home next door to us, so the cemetery was right there. In between
wow.
my our driveway and the cemetery, there was a line of Lily of the Valley.
Wow.
And I have such an infatuation with the Lily of the Valley, because do you know what Lily of the Valley is? It's the heart plant. If you're having a heart attack somewhere, it's a heart plant. That's what it is. It's for that crash that brings you to focus with the heart. And it always grew in the shadows of the trees and the bushes. You would always find it underneath the leaves. If you hadn't raked up the leaves yet, you know, from the
mm-hmm.
fall, in the spring, you would find it growing through those leaves.
Wow.
And that's exactly what I mean. So I've had so many of these along my life. I have seen angels so many times. I know I've been all these things, but they are so normal to me that I don't find that I'm different, because it's like an everyday thing to me. It's sort of like, okay, yeah, I got it, you know, whatever, move on to the next, you know. Or it's okay if we're going down the street and all of a sudden the car comes up alongside of us and he's on top of me and then he keeps going, but we didn't wreck. That stuff to me is normal. But when I listen to your story, it's like, gosh, I mean, like, I'm sweating, because somehow, somewhere along, You know that story that we're all part of everyone, but everyone's a part of us?
Yes, yes, exactly.
You know? I mean, so parts of mine fit into yours, but they're really both of ours, you know?
Oh,
so
I agree. I mean,
yeah.
I think, and that's the soul connection we were talking about earlier, that when we
right.
can recognize each other in that way, it's
uh-huh.
like the part of you that's in me and the part of me that's in you are shaking hands
yeah.
and hugging and going, yeah, there you are again.
Yeah, and it's just so interesting to see. So, I remember being in your home, and you pointed to the wall, and you said, she shows up right there.
Yeah, yeah.
In your home. I can remember
yeah.
that distinctly, because you sat there and you were just, it was almost like you and I were sitting on the couch in your living room, and you had your chimes, and you said, she shows up on that wall, and you were so calm and so quiet and almost felt humbled by it. And you said, just keep being there. She's there. And
yeah.
there was a shadow on the wall, and I can remember it like yesterday.
Wow.
Crazy.
Oh, you're
huh?
right. I mean, I'm in you and you're in me, and I hope everyone
yeah.
who's listening gets that we're all in each other, and it's this part of
yeah.
awakening that I think is going on right now. And as we, whatever, go to Walmart or open ourselves up or remember
right.
these things that are in our lives, it moves away the shadows of, you know, fear and
yeah.
doubt and concern that, you know, seem to be somewhat prevalent if you're looking at certain things.
Because it brings, then they can say, oh, that was her path. Well, I have a little piece of that too. And then you have a piece of someone else's path and someone else's path. And then you could say, oh, then it lightens up and starts to say, I didn't realize I noticed that. I didn't realize I might have been helping someone. Or I didn't realize that was connecting with someone else. So in other words, what you and I are saying our paths is people are lighting up little pieces inside of each other, and they're saying, ooh, I get it. I've been this somewhere like that. I've done something like that before. Oh, or maybe this is something similar, and it's kind of cool. So that takes away a lot of that fear, I think.
Oh, I agree. And I think, you know, from the beginning, you know, obviously I asked Mother Mary later on, you know, why are you here? What's your basic purpose, especially as it relates to what I'm going to be involved in terms of sharing? Because, of course, as we know, there are many other people that also channel Mother Mary. But she said to me something so compelling. She said, I want you to share the true nature of love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she said, people still do not understand the true nature of love. And I find that so fascinating because, you know, it's 20 years now. It'll be, well, 20 years in October it'll be. And, you know, every single message, I've done hundreds of individual sessions and group sessions and all of that. Every single time the vocabulary is different, the analogies are different, but the message is always, how do we get to know what is loving for us and how do we create that in our lives? And I think that really ties in also with your asking me to talk about comfort and asking me to, you know, see what you might have to say about that. But just to complete that little part of the story, so I've been channeling Mother Mary since 1997, and I have found that no matter who she's speaking to, it's like she already knows that person. She already knows whatever, quote-unquote, bad things you've done, mistakes that you've made, whatever. But she shows up with impeccable, all-embracing love, and as well, she brings advice or guidance or suggestions. So it's not like a psychic reading, you know, you're going to meet a tall, dark stranger next Tuesday. It's all about how your mind is either being your advocate, you know, or sometimes it's being your saboteur. And how to take what you're thinking, how to take what your mind is telling you about your life and shift that into a more loving perspective. So that even though around you, whatever's happening that was causing the distress or the discomfort that you're experiencing, that may still be there for a little while. But oftentimes what our mind is saying about that discomfort, you know, like you must be a bad person, you must have failed on the spiritual path, you must blah, 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 it must be your karma, whatever. What your mind is saying, again, it's either like putting acid in the wound or it's about creating a bomb, a B-A-L-M, for your wound. And that's what I have found incredible about Mother Mary's way of offering suggestions and advice to people, because once you know that really your mind is contributing to your discomfort, you can begin to realize, well, I made that thought in my mind, and I can change it to something else. And still, whatever that discomfort or illness or pain, that may still be there for a while. But as soon as you can shift your mind into what, how can I take what is happening, and instead of telling myself a terrible story about it, instead of telling myself how wicked I've been or how I'm being punished or whatever the mind is saying, to say, well, okay, this has shown up, and now what is mine to do with this? How can I shift it? How can I see it differently? So she's really an amazing counselor for people, and that's been my privilege to be involved with that, you know, all this time. It's truly remarkable.
And I think sometimes we get to the point where fear can come from society, it can come from your friends, it could come from almost any source and inside you, because it just seems to be sometimes coming at people from all ends, and that's when people really say, check me out, you know? And because they're just done and they don't know what else to do, and they either will continue to stay on that same wagon or they will just say, I give up, you know? And sometimes giving up is saying that's wonderful, because then you choose not to continue along that paradigm of those people saying those things, because they really aren't true, you know? And to be done sometimes is kind of good. I can remember many times I was, quote, done in the past 10, 15 years. I know one time I said I was done with something, and it was something, I don't even recall it, because I've gone through it instead of setting it to the side or reframed it or whatever. But I went through it, and I can remember like wailing for like 2 years every single day. And I mean, when everybody went to work, shut the door, shut the windows, and this is what you do. And eventually it all just, one day I just said, what am I doing? Oh, okay, that stuff's all gone now, and I'm finished with it, and I don't even remember it anymore. But it was just something that in lineage or in familiar or family things or ancestral stuff, so all this stuff, just the sadness had just had to go, and that was the only way I could do it. You know, I think sometimes we do such a disservice to people when we think that if you want to take all the sadness, I'm going to click my fingers, okay, all your sadness is gone, or I'm going to click my fingers and your body's going to be healed, you're going to be 20 years old again, or I'm going to click my fingers and your relationships, they're just going to be a whole other world, just like Hallmark TV. And that's not at all what you and I are saying. What we're saying is that peace in that, in your heart, in your soul, to be able to just gracefully walk through these things a little bit easier, to be able to make and say, I choose, I'm present with this, or I'm just not willing to play in that sandbox anymore. I think that's what you and I are really trying to say, because that click of the fingers, honey, you know, I believe in miracles too. I have a lot of them, but they don't work every single day, you know.
Right, and I think it is about sort of, you know, taking back our authority, and taking back our ownership of our lives and our power and our energy, which it's pretty easy to have that dissipated in any number of ways. But once we do that, once we can kind of take back our power and say, well, what can I do about, you know, X, Y, or Z, whatever this situation is or this difficulty?
Right.
Because I think fear, you know, somebody said fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. Now, if a tiger's chasing you, it's not false. It's you better be afraid.
Right.
Most of the time in life, it's this feeling, this endless loop in your mind of things are hopeless, nothing's working out, I didn't get what I wanted, I don't know what to do, et cetera, et cetera. And I think one of the kindest things Mother Mary ever said was, it's all an inside job.
Yes.
And so it's like going inside, and I think if I could offer anything, and I'd love to have Mother Mary in just a moment. We're almost approaching 5:30 now, and you and I could talk forever, but I know she has something to say too. But, you know, if we could just approach it from the perspective that if each of us really, really gets that we are part of the infinite creative essence of God or Allah or Buddha, or however you want to call it.
Okay.
I mean, we are part of that. And therefore, we have a capacity that for many people is dormant, has not yet been activated. And yet once we do, like you said, that's where the miracles come. But in the beginning, it's like, you know, building an engine. We have to start from the beginning again to realize I can create, and I want to create something different than what I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Samara, as you said, we're at the bottom of the hour. We do have we have two callers. So if you'd like to bring a Mother Mary, and then we'll be able to get to those callers, that would be wonderful.
Okay, great. I will bring in Mother Mary to talk about comfort. I do want to just mention also, I decided before the show that I'd like to offer to the first 10 people who email me a half price for half an hour. So if you've ever wanted to have a session with Mother Mary and your budget's been an issue, usually a half hour is $88, so that would be $44 to the first 10 people, and you would just email samaragrace1111@gmail.com. So that's my offer to everyone to get your own little piece of heaven from Mother Mary.
Very good.
Let me put her in and see. Do you want to just bring the first caller on, or you want me to have her say something first?
What I wanted to tell the callers, again, we are taking calls. The number is 424-258-9318, and please do push 1 after the intro so you'll be in the queue. What I wanted to tell the callers is please do stay on the line, because if we approach the top of the hour, we can go a little bit longer, so please don't hang up if you'd like a call. If you'd like a question. Please stay on the line, okay? All right, go ahead. You can bring it to Mary. I think that would be best.
All right. Well, to all my beloveds, first and foremost, I want to say happiness can be yours. Happiness, yes, happiness. Because what it comes from is recognizing the infinite good of yourself. Yes, infinite good. Yes, you might have done this or that, but don't worry about that. And what I'm sending right now through the airwaves, right to Jeanette and to everyone who's listening, is the energy, the unmistakable energy of unconditional love. Unconditional love. And what that really amounts to is, you know, those of you that have had children, imagine that first look at that lovely little newborn's face that graced your life and the love that came pouring out of every cell in your body. For those of you that love nature, imagine the most beautiful sunset that you ever saw, or sunrise, or mountain, or trees, or whatever is for you. For those of you that love your animals, feel the embrace of your dog or your cat or your whatever you have, and feel it in your body and in your bones. Just like blood, happiness can run through your body like an energy, but it does need circulation. And the heart, just as it does circulation for the blood in the body, the heart can circulate happiness. And it begins with you basically allowing and deciding and choosing, I want to feel happy, regardless of what is going on outside of my body, outside of my house, regardless of that, I want to feel happy. Because once I do, everything else will change and shift. Even in the most difficult situations, even in the tragedies of wind and rain and fire and all of that, you can be happy while you're helping. And with that, what happens is the frequency in your body goes from a frequency or a vibration that is, shall we say, at a lower level, into a frequency and a vibration at a much higher level. What it does then is ignite your creative mind. What it does then is ignite your creative spirit and dreams. And with that, all that you felt had been denied you can return in a whole new form. And Dr. Jeanette was just so courageous in sharing that for a while she was crying and crying and crying. And I think for many of you, that might be part of becoming happy, is to allow yourself to shed all of the despair and anger and resentment and sadness that perhaps you've carried up until now. It doesn't have to be in your body. It doesn't have to be in your mind. You don't have to live with resentment. You can be happy. And it's a spiritual practice to say, I choose to be happy. I choose to ignite my heart and my body and my mind to be a container and then a fountain of joyous, beautiful light and love. Yes, it is for all of you. And what I want to just emphasize is this is not a denial of whatever difficulties there are in the world. It is not a denial. Because once you have allowed yourself to come back into the frequency you're meant to have, this frequency of happiness or joy, then your spirit is ignited, your power is back with you to then look outside and say, what cause or what challenge or what difficulty, where do I want to put my energy? And so you have beautiful Dr. Jeanette who does these radio shows. It's one of the ways that she takes her knowledge and her joy and puts it out for other people to learn and grow. You may decide to go and volunteer at a food bank. You might decide to do something entirely different. But again, without your happiness, nothing moves in the way you'd like it to move. So the spiritual practice is really a little like looking at yourself as a fountain in some level of disrepair. And to fix it, Yes, you may need to cry. You may need to laugh. You may need to be angry. You may need to do a number of things. But once you realize I'm in charge of my body and my being and my happiness, and I was born as a child of the Most High, and I choose to allow that beautiful inheritance to now be what informs me, what I allow, what I will then share in the world. And so I know that there are questions, and I will take those in just a moment. But for everyone who listens, whether it's tonight or that listens at another point in time, what I want you to realize is that the very most beautiful, important thing you can do to change the world is to lighten yourself and your frequency. And so perhaps it is to go out in nature and sit under a beautiful tree. Perhaps it is to walk your dog, to play with your cat, to smile at your child. Because what you're doing is so essential in renewing the energy of your light that then can look, as I said, at the difficulties and challenges outside and have that additional fuel, that additional energy to really be able to make that profound difference. So it's really, it's time to allow your destiny to unfold, your destiny not only as a beautiful part of humanity, but as a most beloved part of divinity. Yes, that's what is time. So I will take the first question.
Okay. Hello, this is Dr. Jeanette and Samar with Mother Mary. Can I have your name, please, and if you'd like to ask a question? Hello? Okay. We will leave that person on. Hello? Okay, we'll take the next caller. Hello, this is Dr. You're scared. Hello, this is Dr. Jeanette and Samar with Mother Mary. Would you like to ask a question, and what is your name, please? Hello? I think we're on robot time. Hello? Okay.
Well, perhaps, Jeanette, never mind them. Do you have a question?
Sure. So all of my work that I have been doing, and I just feel that things unfold, and I hear so many times the answer is patience, just let it unfold. I would always say, in divine time. And when I sit down and try to say, what do I do next? You know, how do I do it next? I find myself going outside and looking at the clouds, which I do all the time. And then whatever is next just shows up. So I would assume that I'm in the space that I'm in and in that time and that frequency where I'm able to keep it going forward. In other words, how can I expand it to work more with people? Or I'm sure you know probably what I'm trying to ask.
I do. And I think part of, it's so interesting that several people weren't ready to ask a question, right? If you look at that as a metaphor for not only what was really happening just now, but also for a metaphor that people almost don't know what to ask, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that part of your beautiful service is in providing literally a new vocabulary for people, along with connections to people of you know, various skill sets, you know, all around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
I can honestly...
Go ahead.
Sorry. I can honestly say that I have said that on the radio for the past 5 years, that we are learning a new language and that the words I'm speaking is a new language. And we'll just be able to, we'll hear the words, then we'll put it in sentences in a few years, then it'll be in paragraphs, and then we'll be all speaking it. So I think we're at the paragraph stage right now.
Well, I think we're perhaps only at the sentence stage, but all right.
Mm.
I think, well, here's what I want to say, because I want to speak to you, but I also want to speak to everyone who's listening, because I think this is such a relevant issue. You know, what do I do next? And I think that some of what you've already begun and is in the works right now, you mentioned to Samara that the various guests that you've had on in May for the 20 days, you want to make that sort of packaged and available to people, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the reason that that's an important project is that part of what you're doing is reminding people about how co-creation works. And this is the infrastructure that is still in its infancy, because in most of life there is still great competition, right? And and a sense of, you know, protection around, well, I have to protect my clientele and better not give you my email list and all that sort of thing.
Right.
So what's really next for you, Jeanette, I would say, is to create, and it could be a virtual thing just as you're doing right now.
Right.
But I would love to see you do a panel show. And on that panel show, again, as you're doing now with a topic, so can you imagine right now if, so I'm speaking, but then you're playing Robin's music and then Anne is bringing in something else and, you know, so there's this wonderful kind of exchange for people, because part of what is so difficult for people right now is they kind of believe that there should be just one way to learn about spirituality and to discover their purpose and all of that. And the reality is there is not just one way. There's not just one person. There are many different beautiful teachers and healers out there. And in order for people to take the next step, they sort of have to have a way to dip their toe in the water. And that is what you are already doing. But imagine if there could be a sort of a combination. Now, in the virtual world right now, there are many internet-based kinds of things where you can have many people on the line at the same time.
Right.
And you can have video with that. So my thought would be to take what you're doing in May and perhaps a few months after this to see if you could put together sort of a beautiful conference about a topic that you select that everyone wants to give input on. And then you could do it on one of these wonderful platform websites where everyone can be on at the same time.
Very good. I understand. Yes. Because I think that's why I did the 20 days. It was like a touch in the toe for a lot of people that didn't understand any of these concepts. And so I understand everything. Perfect. Thank you. Yes, I get that.
Right. And I think for anyone who's listening who's still a little hesitant, you know, I think I want to say to everyone, discernment is a beautiful, beautiful and very, very needed quality. We don't want you to just jump in with someone and let someone else tell you what to do and any of that. But what you want to do, any of you that are still sort of reluctant or hesitant, is ask your higher self, your own higher self, to guide you with a very physical cue. Meaning that you get hot, you get a touch on your shoulder, you feel a certain thing, and help you to choose either the teacher or the program or the means that will really allow you to take the next step. Because if you just do it from the mental point of view, if you just use your everyday human mind, you are not touching into that soul heart, that soul spirit that can tell you, hey, this is the next step for you. Now, I want to just mention a little bit about this Reiki that Samara has been doing, because that truly has been an ignition switch for a lot of people. And, you know, again, I want to first say to everyone listening, if it doesn't resonate with you, then it's not for you. It's fine.
Right.
I'm not saying it's for everyone. But Samara became a Yusui Reiki master. That's the traditional Yusui back in 1998. And did traditional Yusui Reiki for many years. But when she was in Hawaii a few years ago, I told her she needed to bring forth a new form of Reiki. But like you, Samara always questions. She doesn't just say, okay, Mother Mary, I'm on it. She said, why? Why do we need another form of Reiki? There are other masters teaching, and in fact, Samara has taken Ascension Reiki and Karuna Reiki and become a master in both of those as well. But I said to her, people are still believing that it's an outside force.
Right.
And what people need to experience is the inside awakening and ignition of their own heart, mind, and spirit. So this particular newer form of Reiki called White Star Reiki, what it does is it, first of all, in the first level, there are four attunements to get your body, your physical body, right, your mental body, right, your emotional body, and your spiritual body all on the same page. Because part of the difficulty in moving ahead in any part of your life is for most of you, the body's in fear, the mind is full of compromise and, oh, I don't have the money or I shouldn't do it or what will my husband think or all of that. And as a result of that, if you think about an engine where all four cylinders are moving at different paces or going backwards, you don't get anywhere. And so during this White Star attunement, there are four attunements, and they are done actually by four different masters, if you can imagine that. And so when you think about your emotional body, the heart and the emotions, that's my territory. So I, as Mother Mary, attune people in the emotional body. Metatron attunes the mental body. Imagine that. Taking out of your head all of these distractions from your purpose and your passion and all of that, and realigning you with your original soul print. And then here comes Archangel Michael, and what he's all about is the physical body to give you again courage, the courage of your convictions, right? So you have this beautiful alignment of your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body, and then your spiritual body is lit up by your own higher self. So you are again in charge of all of yourself. You still can, you know, choose any angel or guide to be a part of your life and to help you and to support you and all of that. But the true master of you is you, your higher self. And so that is the spiritual alignment that is then in place. And so with that, with those four attunements, now you have the Reiki energy coursing through your circulatory system, the one we spoke of a few minutes ago, so that your mind, your body, your emotions, all of it is being guided by your higher self. And when you reach that point of having everything in alignment, you reach a point of what I would call both knowing and surrender. And dear Jeanette's question was exactly that. She's in her knowing, and she's also surrendered, not with a white flag to some enemy, but surrendered to the divine process and the divine timing of all that is unfolding. Now, Jeanette never took the White Star Reiki. She went on her own path, and that's absolutely perfect and beautiful. But the reason I'm mentioning it is that part of the other thing that happens for those of you that do feel called to the White Star Reiki is it builds upon all of the Reiki masters and Reiki attunements and Reiki clients that already have felt the power and the love of that particular kind of frequency and ray. And so you join, in a way, thousands and thousands of others, whether you ever get to know them or not, who have ignited in their own way this energy of light. And so that is why it has become a very beautiful and powerful methodology. And we told Samara that before she's allowed to leave the planet, she will attune 22 Reiki, White Star Reiki master teachers. And I think some of you will laugh, because her first response to that, when we told her that, was, you do know I live in Cornville. meaning in a very small town, you know, right. with not a lot of people around. But already now, she will be attuning the next three, which will make 10 of the 22 masters within about 18 months. So there's still some to go, but I want you to see that the reason I'm mentioning it is not only for you if it's something you want to take, but once Samara was fully aligned with her purpose, with all four bodies doing this, all of the others who wanted to be a part of this, who wanted to have the training and become White Star Masters, began to show up, even though she lives in Cornville. So for any of you, if it's right, great. If it's not for you, also great, because what that means is there's another path for you to ignite your higher self so that you always know that you're not alone and that you have that power of the presence of your light, because that is what will guide you in all the steps yet to come.
You know, Mother Mary, I can on my website, I have on there Let's Talk, and that's exactly what I was trying to infer to people is I have all of these guests on these shows. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of processes, and I tried to say to them, let's just talk, and I will help guide you to that. What, you know, what I can sense might be next or what you're trying to tell me to guide you through. And, you know, it's interesting. So many times for my own work, if I asked anyone for help, I would call them and say, I don't want you to do it for me. I want you to join the energy with me so that our both combined energies can bring me to that next space. And it's like, I don't want someone to take something away from me. I don't want something to fix something. I want them to just bring energy that, you know, it's sort of like in chemistry. You bring some of your electrons into my component, and it will just like spark my energy more, and then I can take it from there. And I think that's really where we should be going, you know, in health and healing, is because we've got it all inside, you know, and it's just, you're just looking for that guide to spark it to be able to bring it forth, yes?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that so there are so many teachers and healers out there. And again,
right.
for each of the people that are listening, all I would say is that tune into yourself and ask,
yes.
what would love do here? What would loving myself be to expand, to grow, to learn, to be? Because, you know, the most amazing comfort, I think, comes from that inner knowing when you know that you're a child of God,
right.
an infinite, amazing being of light. And no matter what else is happening, that is an irrevocable legacy that you hold. And so as you would go forward in life to do whatever you choose to do, yes, please talk with Dr. Jeanette. Call Samara.
Right.
Samara's website is channelmary.com. Learn, grow, read, go to
mm-hmm.
workshops, whatever feels right to you. But don't cower in your house afraid
mm-hmm.
of everything, because once you put yourself in that low a vibration, it's very, very difficult to come out of it.
Mother Mary, we do have those callers on the line. Can we try them again? Because I'm sure they've been very patient and they
oh, certainly.
They must have something. Okay. Okay, the line is open for if your phone ends within 1398, you're on the air. Would you like to ask a question of Mother Mary? 1398. Okay. Well, I'm sure they may, perhaps maybe just wanted to listen. Let's try if your phone ends in 2785, would you like to ask a question of Mother Mary?
Hello.
Hello. Hi, you're on the air. Would you like to ask a question?
I don't have a question for Mother Mary. I wasn't unable to get on through the internet, and so I called in. I know
Very
Mother
good.
Mary well, and I just wanted to listen.
Well, you can say hello.
Hello, Mother Mary.
Well, let me just, you know, end you know, this is Samara back again, and what I want to say to everyone is this life can be such an adventure. If 20 years ago when I was Jeanette back in my house in Scottsdale, if somebody had said I would be teaching White Star Reiki and traveling around the world and doing what I do, honestly, I would have shaken my head and perhaps not believed it. But I want to go just for a moment to trusting and following that, because that's honestly gotten me the most joy in my life. And sometimes what I want to say, too, is it doesn't always pay. It's not always a financial thing. But a few years ago, a friend and I were guided to go to Los Alamos, where they developed the nuclear bomb. And it was a Mother Mary trip from start to finish. And we traveled around. We said a prayer at Los Alamos, where we were guided to stop at this one little corner where two streets came together, right, and there was a tree. And all around it said, do not stop, guard dogs, you will be shot, you know, that kind of stuff. But we just both felt guided. We got out of the car. She played her flute. We said our prayer. We could feel. We said a prayer for everyone that had been involved. We said a prayer to everyone that had experienced the horrific nature of that. We asked that everything be lifted. And then just as we were walking back to the car, you know, the security people came and they were rushing up, and I reached in the car and got my map out, and I said, oh, I'm so glad you are here. Can you tell us how to get to such and so? And they were just like, fine. They just were completely calm, and they just saw two lost girls, you know, and off we went. And it's a little like your Walmart story. You know, they shifted from very, very aggressive to, oh, sure, let me help you. And I think when you're guided to do things like that, it reaffirms that there is a divine plan. And it doesn't always translate into a certain job or a certain status of living, but it, for me, it always translates into immense, immense gratitude and joy.
You know, it's interesting that you said that, Samara, because I took a what I call a mental break. I didn't have a mental break. I took a mental break, and it was 90 days to work at the florist. So I walked into this florist, and I said, I want to work, you know, seasonal. And I started this last Thanksgiving, and I worked for 90 days, and you would not believe the stuff that I had to go through, mentally, emotionally, physically, the whole gamut. And at the end of the 90 days, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad that it's done, you know. And then I just I called them back, and I said, did you need me for Valentine's Day? And I went for that. And then now I'm going to go for the next 7 days for Mother's Day just to help them. And it's like I just find that it takes me out of my space. I think sometimes we get so regimented in who we are and what we are, what our initials are, what we do and everything. So what? I have 4 degrees, so what if I have a doctor? Who cares, you know? I went and I did minimum wage job, you know, sweeping floors and taking orders at a florist, you know, and I enjoyed it. I changed my frequency. I changed my whole scenario. You know, I mean, I wore jeans and sneakers. I can't stand jeans and sneakers. I haven't worn them at all in my entire life, you know, but I wore them for the 90 days. And it was just about experiencing something else, about being present in other places where other people were feeling different things, you know, and I think that opens you up to a whole other world instead of being always stuck in your own regimented kind of life where everything, I mean, we get to the point where we think, oh, we're all going to just be with spiritual people and how lovely is that? And all of a sudden somebody comes along that doesn't resonate with that and it just blows them to pieces, you know, and we say, oh, my gosh, now what, you know? So I think sometimes you can take those breaks, you can take those other experiences and just say, my gosh, I don't know, but wouldn't that be cool, right?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think that's it. You know, it's not being so, you know, stuck up, if you will, that you can't do this or you can't do that. And just really being open, because my mantra every day is, what would love do here? You know, and I mean by that my ability to love, my ability to share, and whether that's, you know, how I'm driving my car or how I'm smiling at the person in the supermarket, that's really the bottom line, because happiness, for me anyway, is an inside job, and it's something that I can continue to be happy while doing my part. You know, we had a beautiful meditation group last night, and, you know, I offer that into the community once a month here at my home. And what we do is we just take a collection. People can put in whatever they want. And 1 month it goes to the the food bank, the local food bank, and the next month it goes to the Verde Valley Sanctuary. And, you know, I mean, it's last night we had $110, and I think they're going to be really pretty happy to see that in the small little town where I live.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think it's just being open to what's out there and to be able to experience whatever comes your way. Because, it, you know, we say that, you know, we sometimes go with such blinders. We say, oh, I know those things might hurt me. I'm not going to go there. Well, gosh, maybe they won't. Maybe you'll learn something. I mean, you know, I can remember just in closing, I want to say this quickly, is that I was at McDonald's and we were getting breakfast, and there was this homeless man, as his appearance so looked, and he was sitting in the chair, and he was just sitting there, and I said, hey, you want some breakfast? And I didn't say I was going to buy it. I didn't say anything else. I just said, hey, you want some breakfast? That's what I said. So he walked up to the counter with me, and he had his jar, and he says, I have the money already for my breakfast. I says, no. I said, I asked you to breakfast. Would you like breakfast? So I got him breakfast, took him back to, and he went back to his seat. And I talked to him and directly looked at his eyes the entire time. And, you know, people have such judgment of homeless people that they're drunks and drug addicts and people and blah, blah, blah. This gentleman had the most clearest eyes you have ever seen in your entire life. I mean, the whites of his eyes were pristine, and we just had a conversation, and he just interacted, and his mother had died, and he just didn't see a need to have a house, so he just sat wandering around. And, you know, and I can relate to that, and I can understand that, and it was just like the best connection. So I think sometimes when we go with blinders, so much of the world around us, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So let's all decide to be happy out there, folks.
Samar, can you share with everybody your website again and your special?
Sure. My website is channelmary.com, and the special for the first 10 people will be a half-price, half-hour session, so that'll be $44 instead of $88. And my email is Samara, that's Samarah, Grace, Grace, 1111 at gmail.com.
Well, Samara, it was such a pleasure to connect with you again. And, yes, you'll be on the panel. We'll probably do it in September. September seems to
perfect.
Be very good.
Perfect. I love it. I'm in.
All good. So, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. And, Samara, have such a pleasant day. It was such a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, it was great to be on, Dr. Jeanette. Thank you so much for inviting me. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Samara Riley and, again, her work and channel Mother Mary, the link is on the bottom of today's show page. Just click on there, and it'll go directly to her website. And please do honor her great, great special, because I'll tell you, it doesn't come around all the time, and you will really feel that connection if you're feeling that you need comfort. And it's really important to reach out. If you'd like, my website is on the bottom of the page also. Just reach out and ask, can you connect me with someone? I was going to try this. What does that mean? What does this vocabulary mean? It's really about all being present and being able to reach out and say, hey, this world is really cool, and here we go. So thank you so much for joining me today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family. Clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit www.drjeanettewellness.com. to schedule a phone appointment today with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.